Wow, that's amazing. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for being able to be here and just worship you, Lord. There's nothing like being in your presence, Father. We love you. Oh. Sustain this atmosphere of praise and worship as we come before God and His Word. The subject that we're looking at today is Jesus and His Church, noted for its sacrificial generosity and giving. Each one of us will take away something different today, but I pray that whatever it is, God will show us ways to enlarge our capacity and circle of love to make us even more generous than we already are. It reminds me of the scripture that Al had for new wine years and years ago from Isaiah 54, verse 2. Just think of the tent as yourself. Enlarge the place of your tent. Stretch your tent curtains wide. Do not hold back. Lengthen your cords. Strengthen your stakes. For you will spread out to the right and to the left. Your descendants will dispossess nations. What a wonderful word. Let's pray together and see what God wants to share with us today. Heavenly Father, as we come before you and your word, we thank you that you are a God who gives abundantly and lavishes your love and your blessings upon us without limit. I pray that you will so touch and soften our hearts today to hear what you want to say to each one of us through this message. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you freely gave up everything for us. How can we do anything less for you and for one another? Speak to us, Lord. For we are listening with open ears, soft hearts, and attentive minds. In Jesus' name, amen. So far in this series, we've been looking at the way the early church operated in Acts 2. And our verses today are verse 44 to 45, which say, all the believers were together. One translation says, all united, and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. I believe that it is because of verse 42 that they were able and willing to do this, which says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. This has to be our foundation and starting point. God is always our starting point. I feel today that I may be preaching to the converted, as I'm very much aware that so many Christians are richly and already generously giving up their time, their caring and crafting skills, their money and their possessions. However, I hope that each of you will at least go away with something from God that resonates in your spirit, that will enhance your Christian life for you and others even more. Listen to the prompting of the Holy Spirit and jot down anything that you may feel He's nudging you about. I'm conscious that some of the more practical aspects of this message may be challenging for some of us more than others, like myself. Maybe that's why I was given. Thank you, Jack. But I also want us all to know that Jesus never condemns us. If you feel any condemnation, it's not from God. He encourages us to live a life each day that honours Him. And the wonderful thing is that we can start afresh today because His mercies are new every morning. Thank you, Lord. Also, as we go through this message, please keep in your hearts and at the forefront of your minds the ultimate sacrificial gift that was made by our wonderful Lord Jesus on the cross. God gave up everything he had to gain us back. Let's never forget that as we look at this. At the end, I want to share a true story with you, and I pray it will touch your heart as it did mine. It's an illustration of how sacrificial generosity can impact our lives and our descendants after us in the most unexpected ways, and proves the law of sowing and reaping. So, what is sacrificial giving? King David said in 2 Samuel 24:24, when he wanted to buy the threshing floor from Arauna the Jebusite, "I insist on paying for it. I will not offer to the Lord my God sacrifices that have cost me nothing." A sacrifice is just that. It is giving up something you value for the sake of someone or something else. It can involve your possessions, your giftings, your time, your money, or, less likely, but ultimately, even your life. Today, when we give to God or others, we generally give out of our abundance. In Mark 12:41, the widow gave less in monetary terms than all the others, but Jesus noted that it was everything she had to live on. We may be never called to do that, but would our faith stretch that far? Even in our abundance, do we just give our leftovers? Or do we give the best of what we have? Sacrificial generosity is just that. It should cost us something, but it will also bring us great joy. Why do we give? Our Heavenly Father is a giving God. Probably the most famous scripture of all is John 3:16, which we all know, which says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life." We give back to God because he first loved us and gave to us. We give out of a heart of love because God has given everything to us in his Son, Jesus. Giving flows naturally out of a heart that knows its source. Our source is God himself. Giving isn't something you do in order to be blessed. Giving is what you do because you are blessed. Ephesians 1:3 says that God has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ, but that translates into the natural too, in so many ways. We also know that God's ways are not our ways. In fact, they are generally polar opposite to that of the world. They are sacrificial. Jesus teaches that it is more blessed to give than to receive, Acts 20:35. We are to store up for ourselves treasures in heaven, and not on earth, Matthew 6:19-21. For where our treasure is, there our heart will be also. Jesus says that we must lose our life in order to save it, Matthew 16:25. Jesus taught us to love our enemies and bless those who mistreat us, Luke 6:27. To forgive those who sin against us, Matthew 6:14. We are to humble ourselves in order to be exalted by God, 1 Peter 5:6. Jesus washed his disciples' feet, and he tells us to go and do likewise in John 13:14. Jesus teaches us that apart from him, we can do nothing, John 15:5. And Romans 6:11 says, we must die to sin in order to live for Christ. All these sacrificial types of giving go against the ways of the world and our natural instincts. Why give generously? Because God does, and because he says so. If for no other reason, just do it because God says so. such, it's the right thing to do. As we know, obeying God's word produces a harvest of righteousness. Hebrews 13, verse 16 says, "And do not forget to do good and to share with others, for with such sacrifices God is pleased." You can never outgive God. In Malachi 3, verse 10, regarding tithes and offerings, he promises to throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that we will not have room enough to contain it. If we hold on to things too tightly in our hands, there's no room for him to pour out further blessings for us and others. But when we hold things loosely and can let them go, there's plenty of room to receive and to pass on his blessings to others in our lives. God is always looking to get more to us so that he can get it through us. Remember what Jesus did when he was given the little boy's seemingly insignificant lunch of 5 loaves and 2 fish. He looked up to heaven, he gave thanks, and he broke it. And the disciples distributed the food to 5,000 men, let alone the thousands of women and children present. And they still collected 12 basketfuls of food after everyone was fully satisfied. God gives us such a wonderful picture here of his supernatural provision and how he continues to satisfy all who trust in him and feed on him. Don't let the fear of not having enough restrict your generosity. Your gift may leave your hands, but it will never leave your life. Personally, I've always seen it as investing into God's kingdom, which brings a far greater return to us and others spiritually and in the natural than anything this world could ever offer. Why should we give? Because everything we have comes from God's hand, and we only give back what is rightfully his. We are only stewards of the things we have. So let us be good stewards and use them to see God's kingdom increase on this earth. Jesus, in the parable of the talents in Matthew 25:14, was pleased with those who put his money to work to gain more, but not with those who buried it and gained nothing. And we don't need to worry about ourselves when we give generously, because God promises to provide for all our needs. As Abraham was about to make the biggest sacrifice of his life by giving up his beloved son, Isaac, God stepped in and provided the sacrifice and revealed himself with the name of Jehovah Jireh, the Lord our provider. Do we truly believe that? Do we live our lives knowing that God will always provide for us as we release his blessings into this world? His world. Jesus says in Luke 6, "Give, and it shall be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you." Jesus also tells us in Matthew 6 to seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So what are we to sacrifice first and foremost? I would suggest ourselves. In Romans 12:1, Scripture says, "Therefore I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual or acceptable act of worship." So first and foremost, give generously of yourself to God. Give him your whole heart and love him. Spend time with him in the secret place of his presence, and you will find that you will love and care about the things he loves and cares about more and more. And he will enable you to see people and situations as he sees them through his eyes, and to meet their needs according to his plans. How should we give? Firstly, allow the Holy Spirit to direct your giving. Jesus says that the Holy Spirit will lead and guide us into all truth and tell us things to come. God knows everything. Let's trust him to show us where the needs are and to meet them. Secondly, the Bible tells us to give generously. God's word, after telling us in 2 Corinthians 9:6 that whoever sows sparingly will reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will reap generously, says, and God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. What a promise! Paul says an interesting thing in Philippians 4:17. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. So when we sow generously, we're enabling God to grow the fruit of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Fruit that will last and bring his kingdom onto this earth, which is what we want. Thirdly, we give in humility. Philippians 2, 3-4 instructs us to consider others better than ourselves. It says each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others, just as Jesus did. That means we are not to think less of ourselves, but to think about ourselves less. Jesus lived a life that was the essence of humility, and he teaches us to do the same. Jesus said in Matthew 6, verse 3, when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father, who sees what's done in secret, will reward you. So don't give to receive earthly praise. And fourthly, we give out of love. With thankful hearts for the abundant and free gift from heaven that we have all received from our Father in Jesus. 1 Corinthians 13 says that if we have not love, we gain nothing. Love has to be our motive. So our giving is by the Spirit, generously, in humility, and out of love. Cultivate being generous as a lifestyle. Look for opportunities to give and be bold in your giving. God never uses half measures with us. Let's not use them with him, with others. In Matthew 6, verse 2, Jesus says, when you give to the needy, not if. Give to those in need and those who can't return the favour. 1 John 3, 16-18 says, this is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. If anyone has material possessions and sees a brother and or sister in need but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. Faith and actions work together. Okay, now for some practical ways to sacrificial generosity. Let's start with something that we can all do. Firstly, we can all give encouragement. We can all do this, no matter how rich or poor we may be. A smile, a hug, kind words when speaking to or about someone. Words that build up and don't tear down. A genuine compliment. And well done can do wonders for people and make their day, week or even year. I have heard that people starved of love can live on a compliment for decades. Words are extremely powerful, and all words bear fruit. For good or otherwise. Let's pay careful attention to what we're thinking and what comes out of our mouth. And let God correct anything that doesn't line up with his word and his teaching. Before you speak about someone, ask yourself, is it kind? Is it necessary? And would you say it to them? If the answer is no, don't say it. Secondly, we can give financial assistance. Hebrews 13:5 says to keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. Money is amoral, and as such, it can be used for good or for bad. One scripture that's often misquoted regarding money is 1 Timothy 6, verse 10, which actually says, for the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. We all need money to live, but we shouldn't live just to obtain money. Jesus told many parables about money and good stewardship. God doesn't need your money. He's actually after your heart. What we do with our money and our possessions says a lot about the priority we put on God and his kingdom. Philippians 4:19 says, "And my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." That promise followed financial giving. We don't give in order to receive. Love always has to be our motive. But it is a kingdom principle, and you will reap what you sow in every area of your life. One thing I would say, though, before you commit to giving, is if you are married, then consult your spouse. Graham and I always discuss, pray, and agree about our giving. There are different types of financial giving mentioned in the Bible. Tithing is giving back the first 10% of what gives you to your local church. The Bible says that the tithe belongs in the storehouse. That is where you're spiritually fed. This would be used prayerfully and wisely to bless others in need. Whether you practice this or not, I can tell you from experience that God can do more with the 90% that is left over than you will ever do with 100%. It's a fair method because everyone can give a percentage. We know the gospel of Jesus Christ is a gospel of grace. And where grace is concerned, there should actually be no limits to our giving. Your money is your own, just like your life isn't your own anymore. You were bought at a price, and that price was Jesus. We can give financially through offerings. These are over and above the tithe as God lays on your heart. There are many organisations vying for our attention and money, and we can't help everyone, but everyone can help someone. Give where you feel led by the Holy Spirit. Here are some thoughts without naming any organisations, but no doubt you have your own favourites that you are passionate about. Christian ministries you know and trust to share and teach the gospel, bringing many to know Jesus. If we can't go personally, we can support those ministers who can, and who run Bible schools and discipleship, prison ministries, feeding the poor, helping the homeless, vulnerable children, or vulnerable adults. Hospital ships that travel the globe, performing operations and saving lives, and actively sharing Jesus with the sick and the needy. Sponsoring the education of a child, including their spiritual education, in a third world country. Supporting the persecuted church. Christian TV or Christian radio. In this country, I believe we're blessed to have dedicated channels transmitting nothing but Christian programming all day, every day. There are so many good Christian causes. No doubt you have something that tugs on your heart and that you support. I will never forget what someone once said to me as I wept when hearing about human trafficking. There's no point in shedding tears over something unless you're willing to do something about it. I found that a very sobering thought. We can also bless someone we know with a monetary gift, maybe family members or friends who are in a difficult situation and struggling financially, maybe through loss of work, car trouble, or just needing some extra income to go towards university or a business. I'm sure there have been times when we've personally welcomed financial assistance, but we can look at that gift as paying it forward. Thirdly, we can give our time to mission work. Jesus said to go into all the world, proclaiming the good news of the gospel and making disciples of all nations. I've heard it said that everyone should go on at least one mission trip in their lifetime, because it will change your life and perspective on everything. Now if we're much closer to home, what practical assistance or time can we personally give? Again, I want to say that I know so many of you are already giving of your time and resources. But if you have any free time, here are some suggestions to stimulate your thinking. Jesus always had time for people, but he also prioritised his time with his Father so that he would know where to go and what to say and do, and so we should do likewise. Maybe volunteer to help out at a local food bank, or become a visitor for a local hospital, care home, or even prison. Get to know and serve your own community. People always say helping others less fortunate takes your mind off your own troubles. And there's always someone less fortunate than ourselves. Buy extra food when you go shopping and donate it to your local food bank to help those in need in your community. Visit someone who lives alone and who you know would love to see you. It'll certainly brighten their day, probably be the highlight of their week or even month. Not that we're so great, but that they may be so very lonely. Pray with people who are hurting. Show them you care. Prayer changes everything, and we are told to pray in the Spirit continually. God knows and will meet each need if we ask Him. Phone someone you haven't heard from for ages and ask them how they're doing. Maybe a family member. Intentionally build bridges with people. If someone has touched your life in a significant way, send them a lovely card or a letter telling them how much you appreciate them. It will bless their life and yours for sharing the goodness they've brought to you. And let them know they're an inspiration. Send flowers to brighten someone's day so they can enjoy God's beautiful creation. All simple things, nothing mind-blowing, but sacrificial nevertheless. If you like ironing or cleaning, offer to help someone who you know is overwhelmed in those areas. Offer to child sit so that a couple can enjoy some quality time together for a day or an evening. Invite someone out, treat them to a coffee and a chat. Teach someone who's interested in your craft. That may be knitting, quilting, painting, making clothes or personal gifts, DIY or woodworking. If you love to bake, take along some delicious homemade treats to someone. People can literally feel the love contained in food. Linked to that, if you love baking and are particularly gifted in that respect, why not pay your gift forward and teach someone to bake who can't but wants to? Cook a nice meal for someone who's going through a difficult time, an illness or the birth of a new baby, or just needs cheering up. Again, not everyone can cook, so why not spend time with someone passing on your tried and tested recipes? And if they like the sound of them, maybe teach them to make them. Spend time together, having fun in the kitchen, especially with younger ones. It can be such a momentous bonding time that they will always remember. Support one another, emotionally as well as practically. Just be there for people who are grieving or hurting, especially at this time of year, when there is an expectation that everyone is happy, but deep down the pain can be difficult to bear. In most cases, words are not necessary. We all know that a hug can speak a thousand words. Don't be in such a hurry to get to your destination that you miss God given opportunities along the way. Listen for the still small voice of the Holy Spirit. Jesus, on his journey to Samaria, stopped to encounter the woman at the well, where he revealed his true identity to her, and many believed because of her testimony. Jesus also stopped for the woman with the issue of blood while he was on the way to heal Jairus' daughter, who was dying. Even though he was delayed, and Jairus' daughter did die, both were fully restored to life by an encounter with Jesus, who is life itself. I think the parable of the Good Samaritan in Luke 10:25 is interesting, in that all the religious people saw but ignored the man who had been beaten and left for dead. It's a powerful point that Jesus makes, that it was a man who should, in the natural, have had compassion on him, who bound up his wounds and helped him out of his own love and pocket. And then Jesus tells us to go and do likewise. One thing I've heard over and over in testimonies is that God often nudges us to do something for someone when we least feel like it, when we are tired and we feel like we need someone to help us. But don't let that stop you. Maybe that's God wanting to show his power in our weakness and bless us too. Romans 12, after saying that we should be living sacrifices, tells us to share with God's people who are in need and to practice hospitality. I suppose the clue is in the verb practice. If you struggle with this, start slowly by inviting someone over for a cup of tea and a chat. You could work up to maybe sharing a meal with someone who you know can't return the favour for whatever reason. Talking about sharing, why not declutter your house and your life? I have to hold my hand up to not being very good at this. I'm a bit of a sentimentalist at heart, and things always remind me of people. But we can only have so many things. Jesus says in Luke 12:15 that man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. Give away things you don't or will never use again. Have a clear out of your wardrobe and give away good quality clothes to those in need, something that you yourself would like to receive. Note to self, you'll feel liberated for having less stuff, and they'll be blessed by owning some things that are new to them, given in love. Some people we know find it difficult to receive free gifts, but giving can also soften people's hearts towards the gospel of Jesus and build relationships, as Andrew and Jackie already testified to recently. Finally, I have some challenges for us all, both spiritual and practical. Prayerfully consider this. What can we give over and above what we are doing or giving already? Or what can we give up to make room for other things? It's not so much about doing more and adding to your already busy lives. Just ask God, what do you want to do for others in and through me? Maybe you can do something that stretches you and takes you out of your comfort zone. Something you know God has been speaking to you about and which you've been resisting. Maybe something we've already covered. Perhaps offer to pray with someone you know who needs healing, which will activate and build not only your own faith, but theirs also. And hopefully you'll have a testimony to share. Bless the body of Christ with a word you sense that God gives you during a service when you're not used to speaking out. God wants us to stretch the faith that he's given us. It's so inspiring to see so many who are already taking up God's challenge to be bold and courageous, so here's a big well done to you. Make it your goal to share Jesus with someone that God brings across your path as the Holy Spirit leads you. Listen for his prompting. Jesus was totally led by the Holy Spirit. Let's follow his example and see more and more souls brought into his kingdom. That's the Father's heart of his will. Commit to spend time praying for someone the Lord lays on your heart until you see a change in their circumstances for the better. And don't give up. Whether it's for healing or better life choices, whatever it is, don't stop until you see it manifest in the natural realm. Maybe God is asking you to humbly forgive someone who's hurt you or your family. We are the ones who will benefit because Jesus came to set us free. Who the Son sets free is free indeed. Forgiving is for giving. And remember, God never asks us to extend more grace to someone than God has already extended to us. Sacrificially and purposefully, go without something you want, so you can bless the life of someone God brings to your attention. And this is a big one. We've been talking about sacrificial generosity. In the coming months, why not give away one thing that you really want to keep for yourself? And you will see how much of a tie our possessions can have on our hearts. If it's easy to give it away, you probably don't want it that much. Do everything prayerfully so that you can see what the Holy Spirit is saying to you and who to give to at any moment in time. Jesus loves us and he gave us everything sacrificially and abundantly. He gave us his eternal life and his salvation so that we can glorify him and enjoy him forever. And whatever you do, do it in love. In John 13:34, Jesus said, "A new command I give you, love one another, as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." And now for the very short story I promised at the beginning. In the late 19th century, a member of Parliament went to Scotland to make an important speech. He travelled to Edinburgh by train. Then he took a horse-drawn carriage, Typhoid, to his destination. But the roads were bad, and the carriage became mired in mud. A Scottish farm boy came to the rescue of the team of horses and helped to pull the carriage loose. The Member of Parliament asked the boy how much he owed him. "Nothing," the lad replied. "Are you sure?" the politician pressed, but the boy declined. "Well, is there anything I can do for you? What do you want to be when you grow up?" The boy responded, "I want to be a doctor." The Member of Parliament offered to help the young Scot go to university, and sure enough, he followed through on his pledge. More than half a century later, Winston Churchill lay dangerously ill with pneumonia, stricken while attending a wartime conference in Morocco. A new wonder drug was administered to him, a drug called penicillin that had been discovered by Sir Alexander Fleming. You've guessed it. Fleming was the young Scottish lad who came to the aid of a Member of Parliament. And the Member of Parliament was none other than Randolph Churchill, Winston Churchill's father. Yes, what goes around comes around. Jesus told the truth when he said, "Give, and it will be given to you." So when God tells you to sow a seed of kindness into the life of someone else, it's because he has a harvest of blessing waiting for you somewhere down the road. I have a music video for us to sit and contemplate, and I hope it will touch your heart as it did mine. Jesus said, "Whatever you do for the least of these, you do it for me."
Stars are brightly shining. Just take a moment.